y'all today.
Do you know that today is the 3-month anniversary since Kim and I first came before you as your spiritual leadership team?
Years in Texas, you finally decide whether or not you're gonna deal with the heat by fighting it or just kind of rolling with it. And I thought that probably it would be a good idea just to roll with it. And somebody got away with part of my sermon notes. And cool, man. It's cool. No big deal. We're just hanging out. So, you know, it really is better in Texas, especially this part of Texas and South, just to kind of hang out and go easy. Just go easy. I decided probably, sometime around menopause, that I didn't like being in the heat very much at all. And so I find ways to enjoy the summer without doing too much outdoors. And I know that there are people who feel the other way. Some of you do your gardening. There's a lot of gardeners among us. And you do your gardening earlier in the day or at twilight. Or you do your sports activities near the water. And I do see people in my neighborhood out running at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm always thinking, what are they thinking? Mad dogs and Englishmen. You know the rest? Go out in the midday sun. So I don't think we have mad dogs and Englishmen around here, so I don't understand why people do that. But it's a good time of the year for us to just kind of lay back, just kind of relax with what's going on. And that applies to our spiritual life as well. We just finished a pretty deep book by David Rico called The Five Things We Cannot Change and The Happiness I get this wrong every time. The happiness we find by embracing them. And we went into some pretty deep concepts. And the month before that, we were looking at our prosperity consciousness and all the things that go with that, all the things that we need to clean up in our lives. So we've been working hard. And last Sunday was a tougher Sunday because we had to acknowledge the pain and suffering that we have been seeing on the border and find our way into prayer for that. So we did some good work last Sunday. So there comes a season of our spiritual work in which it's better for us just to rest with what we've absorbed, to be able to let some of the lessons that we've learned, some of the things that we've discovered about ourselves, just kind of settle in and become an integrated part of us to allow us to assimilate all of that. And our spiritual work sometimes has some difficulties to it, but there are times when we can just rest in spirit. When we are striving to reach God, we've missed the point. Because God is. God is your next breath. God is the next beat of your heart. God is the next face you encounter with love. So it's good for us to remember that all of our striving work with spirit also has a season for rest and for just being. Some of us will go away to cooler places, like Oregon. Can I go with you? Some of us will be cleaning up our indoor spaces. That will not be me. Some of us will be relaxing with friends and family. I'll be doing a little bit of that this week. But our spiritual rest is as equally important as our activity in spirit. And I found an author just by accident named Jay Caird, C-A-I-R-D. He's a doctor of divinity. I found him on a Bible study website, and I had never heard of him before. He talks about a thing called congenial exertion. I think about that. That seems to be oxymoronic. Congenial exertion, which just means being with what is, being with your spiritual growth, being with what happens. And I want to read to you what he says. The idea of the Christ in the holy mind becomes gradually blended with the actions of its daily life. Thought goes out to him, or it, as we say, as by a divine instinct, an ever-acting attraction draws the heart upwards to its great and first object, and life becomes an unconscious yet continuous prayer. Just a short interpretation of that is, if we've already done our spiritual work, if we've already got the instruction on how to pray, on how to meditate, if we've been practicing our complaint watching, if we've been looking at those five things that we cannot change, if we've been going through our grief processes, if we've been going through our transitions in life, if we've been calling upon Spirit as an ever presence in our lives, then there's a time when it works upon us and we do not have to work upon it. It becomes our next thought. It becomes our next breath. That's why we practice it. That's why we come together. We come together so that we can practice living in spirit and then go out into the world and live in spirit. There's a couple of words that I've used a lot lately. Equanimity is one of them. That's a $5 word. Equanimity, where we see everything with a spirit of generosity and acceptance. And equanimity, isn't that a wonderful word? And it stems from the word, I don't know what, but it means equal. I just realized as I was saying that I don't actually know the origin of that word, but but you get my drift. About things being, starting with things being equal. And equanimity is seeing things with a lightness, without carrying it as a heavy load. I'll just use the metaphor that I always use, and it's about driving. And today I was behind two cars that were driving below the speed limit for 20 miles of my journey here. So I got to practice equanimity. I thought they are going to arrive safely at their destinations, and so will I. I will have plenty of time to do that, which I need to do when I arrive at the church, after I come screaming up White Wings. And behold, as far as I know, that all came to pass. But it was a conscious shift. And I found myself in a place of rest instead of And that is what we're working toward. There's a time when we can just let go. There's a there's another word, equipoise. Equipoise. And there was a great racehorse named Equipoise, but that is not what I'm talking about. Equipoise is equanimity with grace. Equanimity with, remember, shoulders down and back, chest open. What does that do to your balance? Equipoise is your balance in life, isn't it? Equipoise doesn't allow you to run around like this. Equipoise doesn't have your fists like this. Equipoise has your face relaxed. Equipoise means you're breathing. When we're out of balance, you know, there are some who have vertigo problems, or they have problems with their balance because a part of the brain has been affected. And so having the balance in the body is difficult. And so they have to make, people who suffer this have to make a conscious effort to hold their balance. For us, equipoise means staying in our spiritual balance. Being able to see life, acknowledge it, let it be. And see what it is that troubles us from that observing point of view. We talked about this last Wednesday. You know, the part of you that's into it, like into it, you've really got a story going on, you're really upset about something, you're really righteously angry about something, you're all, nah. But there's another part of you watching you do that. And when you shift to that part of yourself that watches yourself, that higher part of you that can observe you, that's when the peace comes, the equanimity, the equipoise, the balance. And so I would invite us just to spend a little more time in that space. Let things go. Some would say pick your battles, but I really mean it. Let the battles you pick become fewer and fewer. How about that? And so there, that's good for our bodies. It's good for our souls. It's really good for the people around us. So the seeds of spiritual growth that that you've been planting, they need to rest in the soil of creation. The water and the light of spirit need to penetrate into where those seeds are so that spirit can do its work. You can't force those seeds to germinate and blossom. Let spirit do its work on the seeds that you've planted. And that which we have practiced must then become part of our deeper consciousness. Just know that it is. Know that it is. And if you ask yourself, yeah, but I forgot that lesson, only for a moment. Let me tell you something, my friends. People who worry about whether or not they're living a good spiritual life are already doing it. Because people who are not engaged in their spiritual life don't ask the question. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're saying, wow, I wish I would have done that differently, you're coming from your spirit self. So, our days are restfully awakened to notice and appreciate that which teaches us, which blesses us, which gives us opportunities to be of service to humanity. No striving, just being. Just being. Can you take a deep breath on that? Just. Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? They were living in a garden, naked and peaceful. They had everything they needed. God loved them and they knew it. So Adam and Eve were in a great place. And then the arbiter of change came to them and said, "Are you sure you wouldn't like a little more? Can I just tempt you to step out of the box a little bit and see what else is there for you?" And Eve said, "I think so." And she went, "Hey, Adam, I just figured out a whole bunch of stuff. Try this." He said, "Okay, I think I will." And then God said, "Hey, Adam and Eve, what you up to?" And that's when they became embarrassed and ashamed and cognizant of their nakedness and wanted to hide from God and hide their bodies. And so they then went out from the garden by decree to live in the world. Now, that's always sounded like a really crummy story. Why would God do that? Oh, and the worst part of it was when God said, "So, I told you not to eat from this tree. So, who did this?" Adam said, "Eve made me do that." That was Eve. And Eve said, it was the serpent. The serpent told me that I should." So there was blame going on. There was a passing off of responsibility for choices made. But here's the thing, my friends, that had to happen. It had to happen. Human beings had to move into the world. They had to live a full human experience. They had to make the choice whether or not they were going to live in God's love. They had to make their own choice. And that's what the rest of the human struggle has been about. Are we trying to get back to the garden? I don't think we are. I don't think that our spiritual maturity calls for us to be unknowing and innocent. But it does require us to be mature people who stand not ashamed of ourselves, before our Creator, inside our Creator, with our Creator in us, who can say, "Yes, I choose to know that God is with me. I choose it every day. I choose it every moment. I choose to know that there is no separation between God and me. It's God me. It's God you. It's God us." I love that story and that interpretation of the Adam and Eve story, because it had to answer the question for all the human beings who ever were: why do we suffer? Why is there sin? Why do people do bad things? We had to go out into the world so that we could consciously choose God. We were given that gift. So all you have to do is just say yes. Okay. Yes. God every day. God in me every day. And then rest with it. Rest with it. Let it work upon you. You remember, I keep coming back to that meditation we did a few weeks ago, where not only did we gaze upon God, but we allowed God to gaze upon us. So, conscious choosing humans who rest in the garden of co-creation between one and the one. That's who we are. So we can rest, beloved. You've been doing your work. So rest. I want to share with you one of my favorites, Mark Nepo, The Book of Awakening. Birds learn how to fly, never knowing where flight will take them. There's a deep and humbling lesson in the way of birds. Their wings grow and stretch and span patches of air. First tentatively and then with confidence, they lift, they pump, they glide, they land. It seems for birds it is the act of flying that is the goal. True, they migrate and seek out food, but when flying, there is this sense that being aloft is their true destination. Unlike birds, we confuse our time on earth again and again with obsessions of where we are going, often to the point that we frustrate and stall our human ability to fly. We frequently tame and hush our need to love, to learn, to know the truth of spirit, until we can be assured that our efforts will take us somewhere. You might want to just take all those books that you've been reading, just let them rest for a little bit too. All those books about how to be a good spiritual person, close them. All these conditions and hesitations and yes, buts and what ifs turn the human journey upside down, never letting the heart, wing that it is, truly unfold. Yet without consideration or reservation, it is simply the presence of light that stirs birds to sing and lift. They do not understand concepts such as holding back or only investing if the return seems certain. In this, we are the only creatures that seek out guarantees, and in so doing, we snuff the spark that is discovery. Just how often do we cripple ourselves by not letting love, with all its risks, teach us how to fly? How many times do our hearts stall because we won't let the wingspan of our passion open us fully into our gifts? How frequently do we search for a song of guidance that can come from only inside us? I know that over the years, through fear and expectation, my mind has gathered and hoarded places I needed to go, things I needed to have, selves I needed to be. But here I am, without most of them, the goals and wants all used up in learning how to love. So try as I do to imagine and construct where I'm headed, try as I will to plan and know what this life of feeling means, it is the pulse of what I feel itself that lifts me into spirit. In truth, wings don't grow any differently to fit south or east or west. And our lives, no matter how we train ourselves, are more fundamental than any direction of worldly ambition. We, like the birds, are meant to fly and sing, that's all. And all our plans and schemes are twigs of nest that, once outgrown, we leave. So let's take a moment to rest. And look at me for a minute. Look at me. Don't close your eyes. Don't try real hard to meditate. That's cognitive dissonance right there. Trying real hard to meditate. Our true meditation is just being here. And being in that observant self so that if a thought flies by, we're just gonna let it go. Oh yes, what will I have for potluck? Just let it go. What do I have to do this afternoon? Doesn't matter, you're not doing it right now. How are my finances looking? God will take care of you, and you don't have to worry about your money right now because you got enough. So just be. What a relief. Are you breathing? Let your breath be the ocean wave that doesn't question going against the shore and back and against the shore and back. It just does. Be that ocean wave. Or if you'd like to take flight, be that bird that can soar with so little effort, high above the earth. And the only thing that matters is the wind and how it supports your wings. And then, beloved, remember, everything that has brought you to this moment has been tucked away in your heart to create who you are. And as Paul McCartney's mom told him once, let it be. Just let it be. Just let it be. Everything is just going to be all right. Spirit lives and moves and breathes in us. It expresses itself through you, in spite of you. So that shining light that's inside you right now, from being that ocean wave or that gliding bird, let that light become brighter and brighter. Let it spill through and out of your body. Let it touch every person in this room, radiating. Let it expand beyond this building, beyond our children, to all living things around us, this good, green, hot earth. Let it expand to all people and all living things. And without effort, you are blessing all of creation, and it is blessing you back. And that is how simply we can rest in our spiritual knowledge and let it be. For this, we say thank you, God. And so it is.